Amen. Once again, good morning. If you have your Bible, if you will, turn with me to Psalm 1. While you're turning there, I'd like to read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "All Scripture," that's the Bible, "all Scripture is given by inspiration of God." That means that this Bible that we have before us is, it was inspired by God. God moved men. It was God breathing these words and using men to pin them down. It says this word is profitable. It's useful. People say, is this book good anymore? Well, the Bible declares of itself that it's very useful. And he says it's useful for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof. That's for conviction. And it says for correction and for instruction in righteousness and instruction in the way that we should live. It says that, this is so that, Scripture was given that the man of God, that is the person who's been born again, that is the child of God, regenerate child of God, may be perfect, may be mature, and may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This book that we have before us today, this 66 different books contained in the Bible, were written for our learning. And one of the main reasons they were given for us to teach us how to live. You know, when we had children, I think that's a time that teaches you, they just don't write a book on exactly how to raise children, right? And they're all different. what you do for one may not work for the other, but the outline of the way that you're to raise children is given to you in the Bible. Instruction on how you should raise your children, how you should live your life. It's instruction in righteousness. And I've often said that Psalm chapter 1 is a guide to personal deliverance in this life. If you want to be saved from the pitfalls of Satan in this life that the world has in front of you, if you live the way that it teaches to you in Psalm chapter 1, you're on a good path to being delivered in this life and enjoying the good life that God's promised you, that you can have, that's available to you. It's a guide to happiness in this life. We preached from Galatians chapter 1 a few weeks ago, where Paul says, "Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And we mentioned that grace and peace, to experience those things, is only found through a relationship with Jesus Christ, through a close relationship, being in His Word. And today we're going to look at Psalm chapter 1, which tells us how we can be happy in this life. Don't y'all want to be happy? Everybody wants to be happy, right? If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, follow Psalm chapter 1. let's read Psalm 1. It says, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." This book, much like the Beatitudes in the book of Matthew, starts by saying, "Blessed is the man." And that means happy is the man. Oh, how happy is the man. This word is translated happy 18 times in our King James Bible. And it means blessed, or enjoying the presence and favor of God. And that's where the happy life is, right? When you're enjoying the presence of our God. You know, sometimes you can feel very far from God, and that's not a happy existence, is it? When you feel, I've been there, you've been there, when you feel that God's far from you. And by the way, God hasn't left. You're the one that has drifted from Him, right? He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. He ever lives to make intercession for you. But here it says, blessed is the man, enjoying the presence of God is the man who does some things. And you know, biblical happiness, we'll see here, doesn't really come from just your circumstances. It comes from how you decide to live your life. The choices you make and what you focus on in this life can really determine your blessed state that you're in. When Peter looked at the winds and the waves when he was walking to Jesus, he began to sink, right? But when he kept his mind focused on God, he was safe. Brother Tim McCool, who's the pastor of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church, put an article in their paper last week. And he mentioned Brother O.C. McDade. And I don't know, Brother O.C., if you've been able to read that yet, but he said he asked Brother O.C. after his wife passed, "How are you?" And Brother O.C. said, "I'm sad, but I'm not unhappy." You know, circumstances in life can bring momentary times of sadness. But for the child of God, that's the life that we can live, where we can be sad but not unhappy. We don't have to be cast down. We know we have a hope in Jesus Christ, in the resurrection, and the one that all things consist by, the one that holds all things together, is for us. We can be happy, right? We can live a happy life. That makes me want to smile. What about y'all? Y'all could smile too? Brother Sam said last week, he said, you know, sometimes you don't amen and sometimes you don't shake your head, but he can tell when you're liking it. I'm not that good at reading people, so smile and say amen. The blessed man. And he says here, the first thing in verse 1 of this psalm, he gives three things in the negative that the blessed person, if you want to live a happy life, there's three things that this person doesn't do. And it's a progression. It's where they don't walk. It's where they don't stand. It's where they don't sit. And so the first thing you'd want to do is not walk. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. It says this happy person is someone who doesn't walk or live their daily life in the counsel, in the advice, in the plans of the ungodly. That's wicked people, those who... The word, the definition for ungodly really means those who neglect the fear and worship of God. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want to live a life of wisdom, it starts with the fear of the Lord, right? If the Lord's not in it, then it's not wisdom. So that teaches us, if we want to be happy in this life, where we get our information matters. And I'm not just talking about which news channel you like. They're both spinning it. Y'all know that, right? I told someone, well, I like the way they spin it better than the other people, but it's all spun. It's like we're living in different universes, depending on which news station you watch. But I'm talking about where you get the advice for your life here. Are you going to get it from the people who start with a foundation that there is no God? Right? Like, Men's Health magazine's not a good place to get advice for your marriage, men, right? Or Cosmopolitan magazine's not a good place to get advice how to be a good wife. The Bible will tell you that, right? If the sisters in the church want to know how to live a good life, go to Titus chapter 2. It tells you how to do it. Go to the older women that have done it and ask for advice, and they'll teach you. That's how the church is to work. You know, do you get it from your coworkers, or do you get your information from the Word of God and from His church? You know, every Sunday we meet here and we try to preach from the Word of God and teach from the Word of God, whether it be Brother me or Brother Sam or Brother Derek or someone else that is here. And the church is called the pillar and ground of what? The truth. That's what they said, right? The truth. If you want what's true in this world, what's right in this world, this is the place to find it, right here. Through the ministry, through the others that have been there and done that. We mentioned Brother O.C. earlier. He'd be a good one. If you want to know how to have a good, lasting marriage, you don't go to the guru down the street. Go to the guy that's on the pew right there and ask him, what have you done? That's good advice, folks. This should affect us. That we don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. It should affect who we let influence us. And make no mistake about it, you are influenced by the people you hang around and the people you listen to. How we teach our children, right? If we take Psalm 1 seriously, blessed, the happy person is somebody that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That should change the way we look at how we raise our children, how we educate our children. Some of you are thinking, he's talking about homeschooling or public school. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about knowing what's going on with your child wherever they are, right? Amen. Wherever they are. Know what they're teaching them. Wherever they go. Public, private, co-op, hybrid, whatever it is. know what's going on with your child, know who their baseball coach is and what they're doing at the youth ball games, know who their friends are, who's influencing them. That should motivate us to want to be more involved in their life. My daughter started kindergarten Wednesday, and we went to meet the teacher Monday afternoon. And I'll be honest, this dad was not prepared for the amount of sign-up sheets they ask you to volunteer for at the school. For dads. I thought that's what moms did. They had 3 sign-up sheets specifically for dads. I said, take a picture of that. I'll have to get back with you. I'll have to check my calendar. I act like I'm real busy, you know. But I need to be involved with my children. I want to be involved with my children. It says, the happy man doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor does he stand in the way of sinners, nor standeth. That is to abide in the way. And the way there means the course of life or the action of sinners, of those who miss the mark. Those who transgress God's law. So Psalm 1 would tell us where we abide, where we make our homes, where we decide to do life matters. Where we decide to stand or abide matters. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. It says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Do y'all see that? The world's always, you could say, progressing or devolving, degrading. I don't know what you want to say. Changing. But the Word of God doesn't change, right? The things He said doesn't change. When He says marriage is which was created before any institution in this world, when He says it's between a man and a woman, that doesn't change, right? That's the old way. Wherein is the good way? Wherein you find rest. How we worship the Lord. It doesn't change. When He established His church 2,000 years ago, it hasn't changed. The buildings may have changed. The songs you sing may have changed, but the way we worship doesn't change. His doctrine hasn't changed, right? Men are still saved by the sovereign grace of God, and we still need to preach that because it brings rest to your soul. It doesn't lay bondage on you that you can't bear, that you weren't meant to bear. So He says, I want you to stand in the way and ask for the old paths. Wherein is the good way? Don't stand in the way of sinners. You can go to Ephesians chapter 6 where it says how you're to stand. And it lists the armor of God. Don't stand in their way, stand in God's way. Have your feet shod with the gospel. Have the shield of faith. You can go read that later today. That's the way we're to stand as Christians, right? Armored with what God gives us to live this life. He says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The third thing that the biblically happy man doesn't do, he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. He doesn't make his home with those who scorn or have a disdain for religion, who are boastful, who are arrogant, who are atheistic. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. We love them, right? We love everybody, but we don't make our home with those who mock God. Do y'all see that? If you want to be happy, that's where you need to be. It sounds like you need to be in here, right? With people who love God. People who want to be closer to God, who want to worship God. Other Christian people is what it's saying. You don't make your... John Gill said, now happy is the man that does not sit or keep company with such persons, with the scornful, who comes not into their assembly, does not associate himself with them, nor approve of their dispositions, words, principles, or actions. What these three things tell us is that it is very important who we make friends with, our community that we're involved with. The Christian way to say it is who you do life with, right? Who you live your life with is very, very important. Because they're going to influence you. You know, You remember those old preachers? I always thought they were old preachers that would say, young people, listen to this. And I think, why is he doesn't know what he's talking about. When I was a young person, that's what I thought. Young people, listen to this. There's a saying that my father-in-law has, and I don't know where he got it, but he says, if you show me your friends, I will show you your future. He works with it's a nonprofit organization out of Roebuck, where there's so many people not far from here that don't have dads in the home, and they bring in young boys at I think in eighth grade, and they get them in basketball camp, and they try to teach them how to be a man. And that's one of their sayings when they tell them, if you show us your friends, if you're hanging around with the drug dealers or the ones that are trying to steal the cars or whatever they're trying to do, that's your future. But if you come with us, your future is different. And it's been proven that in that community, their future is different. People are going to college. People are getting jobs, going to the Army, the Navy, whatever, different than what they were doing 10 years ago before they started this organization. And so make no mistake, who you hang around at school, in college, at work, wherever, in the nursing home, wherever, it's going to affect you, right? Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So make sure that you have godly friends that you can count on. Do y'all see that this morning? Make sure that you have godly friends. Verse 2 says, but his delight. Now we're going into the positive. We've said this is what the biblically happy man doesn't do. This is who he doesn't hang around. This is who he doesn't take his counsel from, or his advice from, or his plans from. But in verse 2 it goes to the positive, and it says, this is what the blessed man does. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He delights and he meditates in the word of God. His delight. And I had to ask myself, if I studied this week, what is my delight? What brings me joy? That delight means satisfaction of the mind, or a high degree of pleasure. The word of God to the happy man, if you want to be happy, the word of God brings you that joy, right? And he says he delights in it and he meditates on it. He dwells on it. He contemplates it. He studies it. This Bible is not a decoration in his home. It's something that's used, right? I got a lot of tools that my granddaddy gave me when he passed away. And I'm not the handiest person in the world. Those are pretty much decoration in my basement. You know, but it looks good to have that big red toolbox. I feel like I could do something if I had to. But your Bible shouldn't be like that, right? It should be the tool you use for daily life. That you delight in it. That's where you find your joy. You meditate in it. Psalm 119:97, it says, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day long. See, the blessed man, or the happy person in this life, is someone whose source of pleasure and joy is not in the ever-changing things of this world. If your joy is in the stock market and how your 401k looks, well, that could vary from day to day, right? In 2008, we saw that those just, they can go down like that. And if that's your source of joy, then you're going to ebb and flow through this life. If who's in the political office is your source of joy, and some people get so caught up in who's the president or the governor or whatever, and we should be knowledgeable of that. And it's okay to have opinions on that and desires for that. But it doesn't matter who's in the White House. That's not the source of the blessed man's joy. It's not even in your children. It's not in your spouse. It's not in your church. It's not in your preacher. He says, the source of your joy is in the law of the Lord, or in the word of God. It's in the not in the ever-changing things of this world, but the never-changing word of God. Do y'all see that? The word of God is never going to change. Never. When I was growing up, my dad would help me with homework, and he's a math wizard, and I never was very good at math, and he was always very good at math, and he said, I love math because it doesn't change. He said, English changes. History changes. But math doesn't change. That may have changed now. You know, we could get on Common Core. Carrie was a first grade and kindergarten teacher, and they, you know, the way we do math now in America has changed. And they would have to do 2 plus 2 equals 4, but it wasn't that good anymore. Now you have to explain how that is, right? And she was grading papers one night, I'll never forget it, and one of the children in her class said, let's just say it was 6 plus 6 equals 12. Well, how is that? And the little child said, that's the way God made it. Heavy Grace asked me recently, why do we go to church on Sunday? And I said, because that's the way God wants you to live. That's what God wants you to do. It's not a choice. It's a commandment from our King, right? He says, if you want to delight, if you want to be the happy man, your source of joy is the Word of God. Look what he says. He says he meditates on it day and night. That means continually. John Gill, once again, we quote him, he says, as often as there is leisure and opportunity for it, or whenever a man is free from the business of life. I mean, we have things we have to do that takes away from our time to meditate on the Word of God, right? You can't take it, you may be taking a history test or a math test or an English test, and you may not have time to meditate during that part of the day. But what he's saying here is that it's a daily thing that we do. Every day, every night, we meditate on whether that's a one chapter you read in the morning and you think about that. I used to, and this week I thought I got to get back to it. I would write scriptures on an index card and carry around in my pocket. And when I had time, I could just read them and meditate on them. And I need to get back to doing that. We need to do it day and night. And you have to be intentional about this or it will not happen. Y'all hear that? You've got to be intentional about it or time will slip away. Time will fly by. And you know, and I was thinking, as he says, day and night, probably the best time to do that would be in the morning, right? Because if you're going to meditate day and night, you better get started on it before it's night. Y'all see that? Psalm 63:1, David says, "Oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee." Set you an appointment. I work in a position that requires a lot of time management. You've got meetings about meetings about meetings that we're going to have a meeting about, right? So your calendar can fill up in a hurry. It wouldn't be a bad idea to make an appointment with God, whether that's at 7:30 in the morning when you get to work, or at 8, or before the children get up. Have an appointment, whether it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever, an appointment with God every day that you can read from His Word and have something to meditate on over and over. In Joshua chapter 1, it starts out by saying Moses is dead. Now here's this man that has led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and that surely Israel looked up to, and they thought he had it going on, right? And he's dead, and Joshua has now taken over, and the Lord is really speaking to him, and he says in verse 8, "This book of the law, this Torah, the scripture that they had at this time, shall not depart out of thy mouth." Now he's getting ready to lead this nation into the promised land. He says, "But in this law of the Lord," he says, "thou shalt meditate." There's what we're talking about, meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The prosperous, the successful life, it may not look like success or prosperity to those who don't know the Lord, to the world, but is found when you meditate in the Word of God, when you observe to do it. See, that's the next step for the blessed man. It's not only to know what it says and know what it means, but to do it, to put it into action. Do you see that? And then he says, you'll have good success. You'll be prosperous. So the happy man is someone who meditates and delights in the Word of the Lord. And I would encourage us all to resolve today that if we don't do it, that we'll spend time this week with something on the mind, whether it's Psalm 1 or a proverb. That's a good one. Read a proverb, a chapter of Proverbs each day and find something to meditate on through your week. And put it to memory. You know, sometimes I'll be talking to people about the Bible and I'll think, I wish I had my Bible in front of me. You know, because sometimes I think, I know it's on this page at this part, but I don't know what book that's in. I could find it. I've got a mark here. Well, if I could put that to memory, that will help, wouldn't it? And when you need to recall, it's good to remember some of the hymns that we sing, right? I'll put, I don't do it as much anymore because they're both in big kid beds now. With my children, we had a rocker, you know, we'd rock them and I'd sing songs. That's how Bo would learn. Or Evie Grace would learn to sing songs. And sometimes it would take a while. And I'd notice sometimes I'd run out of songs. You know, I'd start singing Garth Brooks or George Strait. They'd eventually get to sleep. The other day, Bo was singing a hymn, and then he said, I like it, I love it, I want some more of it. And I thought, where did he learn that? He learned Tim McGraw from me. Maybe I need to learn some more songs. But you know, Paul was bound up in Acts 16, and we find that he's bound in stocks in the prison. And what does he do? He starts singing hymns. He didn't have a song book. He knew it, right? It was in his heart. He loved the songs of Zion. He loved to sing unto the Lord. Then verse 3 shows us the results of the happy man. You want to be happy? You do this. You watch who you hang around. You watch the council. You delight in the Lord. You read his word. You meditate on it. You put it into action. And in verse 3 it says, and he shall be, the happy man shall be. Isn't this what we all want to be? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He says he's like a tree planted. He's set. He's fixed. He's not carried away with every wind of doctrine or carried away with everything he sees. He's fixed. He's planted and he's healthy. Do you see that? This blessed man that is implemented, verse 1 and verse 2 in his life, he's like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, the streams, the channels, the irrigation source. It says that this man is close to the life source, is what he's saying. And for you and I, that would be Jesus Christ. You remember in John chapter 4 where Jesus goes to the woman at the well and he says, I've got water that you can drink from. You'll never thirst again. He's the life source for a satisfied life. And this man that is meditating in his word and is watching who he hangs around and where he gets his advice or his plans, he says he will be like, if you do this, you will be like, metaphorically, you are a tree that is planted. You're secure. You're fixed by the life source. And he says, if you do that, you're going to bring forth fruit in his season. The happy man bears fruit. Do you see that? He's someone that bears fruit. That word season means that it's proper time. And the proper time to bear fruit for the Christian is all the time. And for the happy man who meditates in the Word of God, he's going to bear fruit in his season. In Genesis chapter 1, I believe it's verse 28. Let's start in verse 27. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. And I'm really starting to think those are two different things. He said, I want you to be fruitful. I want you to bear fruit and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the flesh of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. From the beginning of time, from the dawn of creation, it has been the will of God that man would be fruitful and productive in his work. Do you see that? He says, I want you to be fruitful. I want you to be productive. And he says, this man who follows verses 1 and verse 2 will be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water and will bring forth his fruit in his season. They will be productive. And then he says, his leaf. This man who's planted like a tree by the rivers of water, by the life source, his leaf shall not wither. Now, what is the leaf? The leaf is what you see on the tree, right? I think he's talking about the witness that we have to others. When we're close to the life source, when we're planted by the rivers, when we're bringing forth our fruit, our witness to others is not going to wither. But the further we get away from the life source, the less people are going to want to know what it is that we found. Do you see that? The further we get away, the less evangelistic you can be to your coworkers, to your friends. To wither is to fade away, to lose freshness, to dry up, to fall off. It says the happy man is a persevering man. The happy man is somebody that's stable, that's productive, and that is bearing a witness to a world that needs it, right? He says, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper or shall thrive. And you know, you think about, is this talking about the prosperity gospel? What is this talking about? No, this man is doing what God has called him to do. And spiritually, his life will thrive. Do you see that? It doesn't mean you'll be rich, wealthy. It doesn't mean you won't be. But it means spiritually, on the realm that matters for internal happiness and joy, you will thrive. I have a good friend who just went to Argentina a few months ago, and he came back with all kinds of pictures, and they had to go over seven rivers to get to this place they were going. And there was this huge river, and it had trees that were just coming up right on the banks of the river. And it would have rows and rows of trees that got further and further and further from that river. And it was interesting to see the ones that were planted right by that life source or right by that river were green and luscious and healthy. But as you could see, as it got further and further, their colors started to change. As they got further and further away from that water, from that life source, some of the leaves started to fall off. And their witness wasn't there. See, those trees that are further away from the life source, their supply of water, what they depend on, they're just getting it every now and then when a shower comes through, right? And that's not how the child of God is to prosper in this life. The child of God is to have a daily source and interaction with his God, with his word. So we want to be like those that are planted right by the water, not those that are dependent on it just on Sunday morning. That's not enough. One shower a week's not enough for 30, 40 minutes. You need every day a constant drizzle, not a thunderstorm every once in a while, but a constant rain, right? So you'll be healthy. You'll be like a tree planted by water. Then he says, but the ungodly, they are not so, but are like chaff which the wind driveth away. Now, this is the word of God. Listen to this. The ungodly are not so. Satan has a way of making it look like the ungodly have so much going for them. Does he not? I mean, if you watch the Academy Awards, every one of them's beautiful. As they walk through there, they don't have to go on a diet like I do. They've already done that, right? They got money. They got it all. But they're probably some of the most unhappy people in the world. They say the top 1% of the people drink to an excessive amount. I'm talking about people that have money. Do we want to be in that? It may look like, you remember Jeremiah? He asked God in Jeremiah chapter 12, he said, why did the wicked prosper? It looks like from the outside that sometimes those who are wicked, those who aren't following the life of God, are prospering. And their life is so much better than yours, but it's not. It's all fake. Y'all know that? It's all fake. And here's the word of God that says the ungodly, those who are wicked, those who are hostile to God, those who mock God, the ungodly. And this can be me and you by the way we act, right? You got two choices here. You can go with the first three verses or the last three verses. And the good life is found in the first three verses. He says, the ungodly are not so. I can tell you by the word of God, those who are ungodly are not happy when we talk about biblical happiness, what God defines happiness as. He says, but they are like chaff or husk, which the wind driveth away. The Webster's 1828 dictionary defines chaff as this: worthless matter, especially that which is light and apt to be driven by the wind. This denotes that the ungodly are worthless. And we can act in such a way that we are like the chaff. That should be sobering, should it not? Let us act like they do in the verses 1, 2, and 3. He says, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And I will say this, that you and I, one day we're going to stand before God, but we're not going to be judged on our works. We're not going to be judged on what we've done. That's the gospel, isn't it? We're going to be judged on what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, did for us on a cross at Calvary when he endured the pain, the suffering, and the torment that you and I deserved. But on the flip side of that, every day we face the judgment of God, whether we're going to be blessed, whether we're going to do what he tells us to do. He says, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. In verse 6, he says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. It is a biblical fact that the way of the ungodly, the course of life for those who are ungodly, who don't follow God, who don't follow what it says in his word, and that can be me and you, it shall perish. Don't think you're going to get away with it, right? Don't think you're going to sneak through and God won't see it. There's a biblical fact that it will perish. If you try to do your life away from the church, if you try to do your life away from the word of God, if you try to live your marriage not the way that God says to live your marriage, or raise your children the way it doesn't say to raise your children, you can be assured that it will perish. But he says, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. That is, that he approves of the way of faith, the way of purity, the way of righteous living. The way of the righteous. Psalm 37, verse 34 says, wait on the Lord and keep his way. Whose way? His way. Did y'all see that? Wait on the Lord and keep his way, not your way. Sometimes I want God to bless my way. Are y'all like that? Sometimes I make decisions and then ask God, will you bless my way? And it never was his way. I did it. The biblical pattern is to wait on the Lord and then follow his way. Do y'all see that? Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off. Thou shalt see it. In this life for the child of God, there are two ways that they can follow. They can follow the course of this world, or they can follow the course that God has prepared for them. They can follow the course that God has set up, the bounds in which God has told his children, this is how you are to live. This is the narrow path that few find, but there are many blessings in this life if you follow the way God has told you to walk and to live. God will help you. God will strengthen you. God will pick you up. You can rely on God. He ever lives to make intercession for you. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You're not in it alone. But he does ask that you put in a little effort. We're not robots that God just directs which way he's supposed to go. We have to make a choice every day. Which way are we going to live? And he's told you in Psalm chapter 1, there are two ways you can live. One of them ends up you perishing. And one of them, that's the last word of Psalm 1, perish. And the first word of Psalm 1 is blessed. And he says, you've got the opportunity which one you're going to take. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word that we can dig into, that we can learn from, that can direct our paths and how we are to live. We thank you for the gift of prayer, that we can come boldly before you, and that we have a man in heaven today, Jesus Christ, who is our advocate, who helps us, who intercedes for us. We pray that you'd help us to live a life that is honoring to you, and you'd help us to live a life where we avoid the counsel of this world, the scorners of this world, the scoffers of this world, and we would be content to walk in the old paths wherein is the good way, and that we could find rest for our soul, that we could be happy as you define happiness. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. At this time, we're going to give an opportunity for members. If you'd like to join this church, this is when we give you the opportunity to do so. You can come forward. If you'd like to submit to the ordinance of baptism, this is the time that we give you to do that, to come forward and make your request known and to follow God as a member of his church. Do we have a number that we'd like to sing?